Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
All right. Turn with me to a very familiar book of the Bible, the Old Testament book of Jonah. It may take you a little bit to find it, because it's something perhaps you don't read out of. And I think this is really, really incredible that the other day I was sharing with Pastor Crystal a little bit about this message. And Caleb overheard me talking to her, and he come running in and he said, "You're talking about Jonah chapter 4? And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're talking about 5 and 6? I said, "Yeah." He said, "I just read that this morning." And so I know the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Jonah chapter 4, verse 5, if you found it, shout, "Praise the Lord." It says, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth." And notice what happens. "And he sat under it," under the booth, "in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd." Now, putting this in your mind, does anybody know what an arbor bush is, kind of an arbor protection? He's basically built something that Abraham would use during one of the fall feasts. He builds this booth, and it's got all these branches and this arbor and these big leaves all over it, and it's to protect him from the sun. But then God, as he's sitting there, all of a sudden God, out of nowhere, and God has the ability to do this, protects him with a specific gourd. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But it's a shade, a shadow, not just over his entire booth, but primarily over his head. And so there's some relief that God brought him. And I think this is really important, because I really believe that the shadow is coming. When I walked out this morning about 5:30 this morning and felt the 60-degree weather, I was so thankful for that cool weather. I love, absolutely love the fall weather. Not just because of deer season and football season. I like the cooler weather. And I really believe, Brother David, that God is speaking to Gospel Lighthouse Church. You've been through some heated seasons in your life, and God's about to bring some shadows your way. And there's a specific reason why the shadow is coming. So if you will, take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. Thank you for this word. Let it go forth in power and in demonstration of your Spirit. A powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful that you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And we give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. Now, I want to say this morning, normally I wait till my first segment is finished before I give you a life point, but I want to go ahead and give you the life point right now. If you will, Brother Caleb, put this up, this life point. Everything you want and everything that you do not have is outside your comfort zone. There is a difference, by the way, things that you want and things that you do not have. Everything you want and everything that you do not have is outside your comfort zone. Maybe today that you're here this morning and you're comfortable. God never called you to become comfortable. That is a dangerous place to be. I think the American church, the North American church, is going to discover that this comfort, this idea of comfort, is not going to be healthy. It's not going to be productive. Because if we continue to go the way we're going, we're ending up in a lukewarm state. And so I believe God is challenging everyone in this room to get outside of our comfort zone. Do you believe that today? And so I want to tell you a story that happened to me when I was about, I don't know, it happened around the year 2002, maybe 2002, I think it was. And I remember I was in Little Rock, and there was absolutely a very large church that I was asked to come preach at. The problem was there wasn't many people at this very large church, one of the largest churches in that area. And they asked me to come to preach. There's some great friends of ours, and they're no longer with the Pentecostal Church of God, but they asked us to come and preach, my wife and I, and we came and we preached. And at that time, Mark and Melissa, and many of you remember Mark and Melissa, Mark was their associate pastor. And so we decided we could stay with Mark during that weekend as I was scheduled to preach, and I'm thankful for that. And then on Saturday evening, as most pastors like to do, the pastors, and Mark and Melissa was with them as well, so I think Blake and Marissa was there as well, but they invited us to go out and eat with them, the pastors did, of this church. And at that season of my life, I enjoy, it's a delight for me to go out into fellowship. Unfortunately, I'm not able to do that as much. Sitting at a table right now for me is very difficult, especially if I'm sitting and eating. I have to get up and walk around. And it was just the other day that we went as a family. We went out and I tried to sit as long as I could, and I couldn't do it anymore. So I had to go to the car and lay down. I had to do that in Batesville. We went and saw Pastor Crystal's family. And so it's just part of this process. I just can't deal with some certain things. But for me at that time, I loved going out and fellowshipping with pastors. But that evening, I told them, I said, I felt it's very necessary that I don't go out and eat that evening, that I stay at Mark and Melissa's, and I felt like I needed to pray. I had this, who remembers boom boxes? I love boom boxes. I had this silver boom box that I bought very, very cheap at the Kmart in Jonesboro. So it tells you how long it's been. I had this beautiful little boom box. I put it in a youth pastor's office, and I would pray with it. Pastor Craig would come in. He could hear that thing go, and he knew I was praying. I would carry it wherever I would go and plug it in and pray. And I carried that with me, and I felt like, I told him, I said, listen, I don't want to be rude. I just feel like God wants me to pray. And I stayed, and I prayed, for a long time. And as I put that prayer music on, it seemed like it didn't take long. It took about 5 minutes. But as soon as I knelt down with this prayer music, the unexpected happened in my life. Something unexpected. God wanted to visit with me. And it was for the second time that I can remember, the second time in my young life as a minister, the presence of God overshadowed me. Has anybody ever been there before? I want to explain this to you. If you've never been been overshadowed by God's presence, this is not being hyper spiritual. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm no better than anybody else. It's just that day, that evening, in obedience, God wanted to visit with me, and He wanted to talk to me, and He wanted to do something extraordinary. And it was like this. I felt like I was traveling in a dark tunnel. Everything became quiet. I couldn't. It was like, just things were black. Even when you close your eyes, you could still feel a little presence of light, right? Unless your room is totally dark. And all that, my eyelids were shut, and all that was completely dark. And I was like I was traveling in this tunnel. But this is the interesting thing. There was no sound. I couldn't hear the sound of the traffic running up and down the street. I couldn't hear anything. All I could hear was just, I couldn't even hear myself breathing. I was in this secret place, this overshadowing of God's presence. It's unexplainable, but it was so incredible, because not only did I not hear or not feel or not see, but I had no fear. I had no anxiety. It was a place of peace it's almost like peace that passes all understanding, as the Bible talks about, that keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I will say this to you this morning. If you've never been there, I'm not asking you to seek it, but maybe one day in your life that will take place. And I pray that God will give you mercy and grace, and that you can experience the true power, the true overshadowing of God's presence. The shadow of God is a pleasant place. It really is. But also, Sister Linda, the shadow of God is a powerful place. Because there's something that happens in your life, your spiritual life. There's something that happens in the inner man of your life that becomes strong. God gives you strength. And oh, I love that place. This has happened now, I'm going to say, close to 10 to 11 times in my life, being under the shadow of God's presence. I believe that the shadow is coming. I believe the shadow is coming not only for Gospel Lighthouse Church, and as the anointing is so strong on my life right now, I believe the shadow is coming for America. I believe the shadow is coming for the United States of America. Primarily, I believe that God is going to visit us again. There's going to be a great resurgence that's taking place. But what is the purpose of God's shadow? You know, I hear people talk about the great things that God is doing, but they never really define the purpose. Why is God bringing us His shadow? Why do we need a shadow? Why do we need the shadow of God's presence? And I want to explain and kind of unpack this morning for you. So we see that the subject of shadows is prevalent in God's Word. You've read it many times. The dictionary even defines a shadow as a dark figure or an image cast on the ground or some surface by a body intercepting light. So we know basically from science what a shadow is. But it's also a shade, or it's a comparative darkness. It also can be a shelter or even protection. Another term, a great term for a shadow, is this term, it's a hint or a faint indistinct image or idea, or even what we would say a mere semblance. So the meaning is not unambiguous. The meaning is very important. It's very crucial for us to understand why God is bringing us a shadow. And I want to show you in the Word of God, there's five major shadows. Now, obviously, there's probably others, and I didn't want to spend 2 days looking through all these, but I spent a good time trying to discover what these shadows were in the Bible. And there's five major shadows that are going to be on your screen. Number one, there's the obvious one, the valley of the shadow of death. I think everybody understands that shadow, right? The shadow of death. Psalms 23 and 4, David writes, he says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says what next? It says, I will fear, right? No evil. Why? Because God is with me, for thou art with me. Not only is God with me, but God's rod is with me, and God's staff, they comfort me. If you want to know what the rod and the staff is, you need to come on Wednesday nights, and we explain things through the Hebrew alphabet that helps us understand what thy rod and thy staff means when it comforts me. Number two, we see there's a place under the shadow of God's wings. And that's what I say what has happened to me when I was in Little Rock and happened to me the various times in my life that I was under the shadow of God's wing. Psalm 17:8, where I get the song Shadow from, I wrote in 1991 in the month of November. It says, keep me as an apple of thy eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Also in Psalms division 91 and verse 1, we all know this one. He that dwells in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under where? The shadow of the Almighty. And then number three, the third scripture here, Psalms 36 and 7 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust where? Where do they put their trust? Under the shadow of thy wings. Under the shadow of thy wings. And so we saw this, we sang the song, Trust in God. Well, where's my trust? Well, it's in God, but it's also specifically, primarily, under the shadow of His wings, a place of protection. Number three, this is one of the most interesting ones. We read the shadow on the sundial. If you'll look with me in 2 Kings chapter 20, this is really interesting because Hezekiah, and I really felt compelled to use this scripture because there's something behind this. But in verse 8, we see Hezekiah says unto the prophet Isaiah, says, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go into the house of the Lord the third day. And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Now look what it says. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Well, this is what Hezekiah says. He says, well, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, no, but let this shadow return backwards 10 degrees. In other words, we're going to go back in time, okay? And this is incredible. It's amazing what happens here. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought this shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And so I think this is incredible. You know, there were scientists that were trying to put Earth's time together, and they came up with missing places. And this was one of the places that they had to put in. And then when Joshua, the sun stood still for Joshua, that was another place. And when they filled those in, the gaps, they were able to say, hey, this is right. It's correct. So these things actually happen. Isaiah 38 and 8, this is the scripture of Isaiah. It says, behold, I will bring down the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. And the reason I brought Isaiah's out is because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is no respecter of persons. And God can almost stop time, slow time down, just to bless his children. Also, God can speed time up. Like anointing of acceleration in your life. You know, be careful how you pray and seek the Lord. But there's those times of acceleration that God can speed things up in your life. And there's times when God can actually slow things down in your life. And so that's between you and the Lord. I like number four. Number four is the shadow of Peter. Acts 5 and verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude both of men and women. And it says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the streets and laid them down on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So you know what that is basically saying? It's saying, Sister Tabitha, that Peter, so anointed and so gifted by God with the gift of healing, that even Peter's shadow, if the people could just get in somehow connection, contact with the shadow of Peter, they could receive healing. But it's my idea, my speculation today, that it's not necessarily that Peter's shadow that healed. It was God that healed. Amen? But there's special anointings upon our life. Look at your neighbor and tell him the shadow was coming. Could you imagine being so anointed by God and being so gifted by God that even your shadow has the ability to bring comfort and healing to somebody that is sick? That's why it's so important to be present and not absent. Amen? The last one, number five. There's a shadow of things to come. Hebrews 10 and 1 says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually to make the comers thereunto perfect. Now I know that's a little interesting scripture. It may not make a lot of sense, but you need to continue to read, because what it's talking about, the shadow of the good things that come, is talking about Jesus. Jesus is that good thing that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. That no longer are they going to need to depend upon an earthly priest, a high priest, to bring restoration, redemption, and as Brother Pastor Bobby said last Sunday, the work of reconciliation. But we need to understand Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for us. That juice that we took today, it's not just juice. It is a representation, and we should believe that it really is the blood of Christ. That bread that we took, that wafer that we cracked, it's not just to make us, you know, taste something. And we should really believe that is the body of the broken Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this was the shadow of things to come. That's prophetic. Because I believe that God is saying that to us. The shadow is coming in our life. The shadow is coming. Everyone say, the shadow is coming. I just want to make sure you're with me. So our life point again is this. Everything you want and everything that you do not have is outside your comfort zone. I heard someone say, well, I've been waiting on the Lord to do such and such in my life. That's probably okay. But I really think that God is waiting on you. Sometimes we're putting all this in God's court, and God's like, hey, you know, the ball, yeah, it's in my court, but really the ball is in your court. You need to do something with it. You need to be active. You need to move outside your comfort zone. It would do me no good to put gas in that Mustang, which I did yesterday, and I don't drive it out of town. I just drive it around a block, and that's about everywhere I go. But it would do me no good if I just put gas in it and just sat. Right? I think God is doing that for us on Sunday mornings. He's fueling us on Wednesday nights. He's fueling us, but it's not doing us any good if we're not going out and using that fuel for the kingdom of God. Right? So everything you want and everything that you do not have is outside your comfort zone. Look with me in the book of Jonah, our opening text. It said this: so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in its shadow till he might see what would come become or what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Oh man, I need to have a Jonah experience in my life, right? I think some of us need to have this kind of experience. But I look at all the characters in the Bible, and obviously one of these days we'll get to talk. Paul would be one of my main ones I would love to talk to. I guess I have to stay in line because a lot of people would like to talk to the Apostle Paul. But I also like to talk to John the Beloved as well. Of course, Jesus, you know, and all of these, our loved ones and different people. Jonah is a really interesting character, though. Because I see a lot of us, all of us, in Jonah. And I'm going to explain what I mean. We read that Jonah is passionate. We read, Brother Pastor Carl, that Jonah is passionate about seeing God's power. Jonah's passionate. He wants to see the power of God. He's almost like the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. They're passionate. Call fire down from heaven, Jesus. He's got that Elijah and the Elisha anointing. We want to see a powerful move of God. If everybody wants to go out and see a reed shaken in the wind, right? We want to see the move of God. And Jonah is that kind of person. He has that type of personality. But we see that Jonah is less passionate in seeing God's mercy. He wants to see the power of God, but he doesn't care too much about seeing the mercy of God. Jonah is called by God to preach repentance to Nineveh. But for whatever reason, and we've read this scripture many, many times, Jonah flees Tarshish. And the Bible, it specifically says, Jonah flees Tarshish from the presence of God. It's interesting that it's written that way. Some even, in the research that I've done, and I've preached on this many, many times before, but some Bible scholars suggest that Tarshish was kind of near Nineveh. It was closer. It was in Asia Minor. Then I've read and done research where some believe that Tarshish was actually in Spain, really near to the rock of Gibraltar. And if that was true, Jonah would have traveled, and I've done the math before, Google Maps, Jonah would have traveled from Nineveh to the rock of Gibraltar or Tarshish in that area, 2,500 miles. That would be like for me leaving Blytheville and saying, I'm done Gospel Lighthouse Church, like the little boy that Pastor Carl shows the picture of. He says, I'm sick of this church. Like, it would be like me saying, I'm tired of being here and running off to the Aleutian Islands outside of Alaska in the Bering Sea. That would be that far. Trying to get away from the presence of God. And so I think one of the biggest lessons, and I'm talking to you because some of you are that way right now. You're trying to tell God no. You're trying to flee what God is trying to put on your life. And you've made these commitments to God and you're trying to get out of it. Right? That's a very dangerous place to be. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? I'm helping you this morning. The biggest lesson, and one of the biggest lessons that Jonah learned, was that you cannot outrun the voice or the presence of God. Amen. You cannot outrun God. Some of you think you can hide things from friends, from parents, from employees, hide things from your wife, hide things from your husband. You will never be able to hide anything from God. You'll never be able to outrun the voice of God or even the presence of God. And so instead of running from God, try running to God. You know, I see people, the only time they come to church, Sister Linda, is when they're running, right? They're running to God because they got themselves in trouble from running away from God. And when everything seems like it irons out and it becomes almost, it's like a safety net. When everything feels good and fine, well, you know, we're good, then they run out of the church and you don't see them anymore. It's like they're coming to a quick fix. And then I've had people say, pray, 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 and they're not living for God. And I welcome you to text me. If you're running from God and you're not living right and you got yourself in trouble, please text me to pray, because I will pray for you. I will pray, God, do whatever it takes to save their soul. If that means give them life in prison, give them life in prison. Whatever it takes to save their soul. Because too many people are running in for a quick fix and running out and playing games with God. I probably won't get any texts now, but nevertheless, that's my Jesus seek to save that was lost. And I believe if we can just get a hold of this and say, God, I want to see your power, but God, I also want to have balance and I want to see your mercy. And God is great, great, greatly merciful to people. No matter the reason of our lives, this is something I want you to see. God always, somebody say always. God always makes preparations for us. God always makes preparations for us. Brother Vernon, do you believe that? God always makes preparations for us. God always, even in our disobedience to God, God makes preparations. Think about this. In your disobedience, number one, we see God prepares a great fish to swallow Jonah. Why did he do that? Why was there a great fish swallowing Jonah? Huh? To get Jonah's attention? My Lord, it would get my attention. They were showing this magnificent, this large 12-foot shark at the beach, Pensacola. It was amazing. It was chasing this stingray. It wasn't a manta ray, it was a stingray. And it was chasing it. And it was good 10 feet from the beach. People taking their cell phones out. And, you know, the reason Jonah was taken by this great fish was for Jonah's protection. Maybe God is protecting you. Even in our disobedience to God, God even prepares us and protects us from ourselves. Number two, we see in the story of Jonah, God prepares a gourd to provide shade. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. Number three, we also see something interesting here. God prepares a worm to destroy the gourd. And number four, God prepares... Are you ready for this? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. God prepares a heat wave to motivate Jonah. You know, God is turning the heat on in your life. Just deal with it. Find out what's going on. Here's the indicators. Am I not living right? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I didn't write that. Well, you guys are quiet this morning. But I believe the Lord is teaching us something and helping us. And so God is full of mercy. So he prepares things for us even when in our disobedience. And so we're just like Jonah. We act just like Jonah. First of all, we are quick to proclaim judgment of God. But then we are inclined to take narrow and exclusive views of God's mercy. It's amazing. Could you imagine with me right now? Could you imagine the attitude, the demeanor of the church if Hillary Clinton came down this aisles and got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? Could you imagine? Oh, but Brother Seward, all the things that she has done and a horrible thing. Where is the mercy of God? God showed us mercy, and we're not any better, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe we are in some areas. But this is that is the problem that we're having. This is the Jonah mentality. And Jonah, he journeys outside the city of Nineveh to see the fireworks of God's power, only to realize that the fireworks extravaganza would be canceled. You go into the fireworks show and you're ready for God to destroy Nineveh. I've been telling you, you better get right. You better do this. You better live right. And then I'm going to get outside. And I did what I was doing. I preached to those people down the road at the church, down the road where they don't have their stuff together. I preached. Now I'm just going to walk back. I'm going to fold my arms. I'm going to build me a little tent. a little shelter. I'm going to grab my lemonade, grab my iced tea, whatever it is. I'm going to sit back and God, you're going to show me the greatest fireworks. Just like a Lot saw with Sodom and Gomorrah. Great fireworks show. But the fireworks show is canceled. Now, let's just get honest today. Why was Jonah displeased at the triumph of mercy over judgment? Why was he displeased? Let's just be honest. Has there ever been somebody in your life that has just troubled you constantly? And you were like, I'm done. I'm just tired. You see them coming, so you go way around. You're at Walmart, and you've got your shopping cart, and all of a sudden you hear that voice, and you're like, oh, no. Here. And you know what you do? You go around, way around the aisles. And you look, peek, and you're like, phew. And then you, well, I still got to get this and this. And you're like, no, so-and-so is here. I'm going to the house. Anybody ever been there before? You get tired of hearing that. And it's like, that's what's going on here. You got this person, this problem, this person. And here Jonah is displeased because God showed Nineveh mercy. You're displeased. And then all of a sudden you hear that person that's been troubling you, something bad happens in their life. And you know what you say? Instead of saying, oh, bless their heart, I pray for them. You say, they got what they deserve. This is what you say. Serves you right. This is Jonah we're talking about today. We're talking about Jonah. Now think about this. The shadow is coming. The shadow is coming. But before the shadow comes, there's got to be light somewhere involved. And the light is right now, the light of God is unveiling hidden truths in your life and in my life, right? And we've got to deal with these things. And so probably one of the reasons Jonah's displeased at the triumph of mercy over judgment is because maybe Jonah's mistaken his zeal of God. Maybe one of the reasons of Jonah's displeasure, maybe he had mistaken zeal, you know. Maybe this zeal that he had and this joy that maybe it wasn't really of God. Maybe it was just of Jonah himself. Boy, this is good stuff. Maybe Jonah may have believed that them Ninevites, they don't deserve God's mercy. Because if they receive God's mercy, they'll never even appreciate it. Have you ever had something and God has put it in your hands and it's more than what you can use? And you think in yourself, well, I'm going to share that with so-and-so. And a moment you're going to hand it out, you're thinking, no, I'm going to hold that back. Because they're not going to appreciate that. They don't deserve that. Boy, this is good. And so this is what God is talking to us about. The shadow is coming. You know, it's hard for a man, Pastor Carl, even if he's a prophet of God, to forget himself in doing the work of God. It is hard. It's a difficult thing. Because, see, you've got people in Corinth, and they're fighting over Apollos, and they're fighting over the Apostle Paul, and they're fighting, and Apollos is thinking, oh, man, these people love me. They're patting on back. They applaud when you come, and they applaud when you go. I'll tell you that right now. And then you got the Apostle Paul over here, and he's like, I'm not going to get caught in all of that applause of man. He says, one will plant, one will water, but it's God who gives the increase. Maybe the Lord is trying to tell us something about God giving us the increase and not looking to man for it. The bottom line is this. Oh, well, here's another thing. I just thought of this one. Here's another thing. Jonah could have been afraid that the Ninevites would despise him as a prophet of lies. He's gone around, and in Nineveh was a large city in northern, I think it was northern Iraq or northern Iran. And it's a large city, very large city. And here he is going through the whole city. Someone says it takes him about a day to go through all that. And he leaves and nothing happens. Now he's afraid that, oh, they're just going to call me a false prophet. Prophet of lies. Maybe that's one reason that Jonah is very discouraged and grieving here. But the bottom line is this. We're all like Jonah. And you know what it is? It's called pride. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, is pride taking you down? It's pride. It really is pride. That's what it is. We have become prideful. American church, North American church, has become prideful. I've been reading and studying in this another book, and I'll explain that here in a few moments. One of the things in this book talks about a particular church that spent somewhere up to maybe almost $3 million. And then this person went to their budget meeting, and they spent $3 million on their church, on lights, on cameras, on all this stuff, and comfort, and AC, and everything. And then they looked at the budget, and when it went to the missions, the world missions, remember, they just spent $3 million on this, went to world missions, they only spent $5,000. We're like Jonah. God shows Nineveh compassion, chooses not to show judgment. So what does Jonah do? What do you do when God shows compassion to somebody perhaps you don't get along with, that you don't agree with? What do you do? Well, this is what Jonah did. Jonah gets displeased and he becomes very angry. He becomes angry. What was happening in Jonah's life was nothing short of extreme anxiety. Because think about this. Jonah has went, if it was Tarshish at the Rock of Gibraltar through the Mediterranean Sea, Jonah has made a 2,500-mile trip and then had to turn around and make another 2,500-mile trip. And once he gets to Joppa, Joppa's a three-day journey to Nineveh. He's running. The Bible talks about him running to Nineveh. And he preaches. He had a lot of time to think about his messages, right? What he's going to say to Nineveh. And so Jonah, he's angry. He's full of grief. He's full of anxiety. And I love what the Amplified Bible says about this. And it's on your screen. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. It said he prayed to the Lord. It should be on your screen there, Brother Caleb. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still in my country? That is why I ran to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. And when sinners turn to you, you revoke the sentence of disaster against them. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, just take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wow. Have you ever felt so much pressure that you wanted to die? Have you? Have you been under so much grief that you just wanted God to take you home? Up to this point, I read in Scripture, in chronological Scripture, I read that the prophet and the leader Moses, he's so overwhelmed with the duties that God has put on him that even Moses wants to die. I read up to this point in chronological order that the prophet Elijah, he's depressed and worn out, and he's hearing that Jezebel's after him, that he's wanting to die. And now we read that Jonah, this prophet, wants God to take him home to heaven, to die because of this extreme stress that he's in, the pressure. Look at your neighbor and tell him the shadow is coming. I see some of you today, this pressure and the stress has overwhelmed your life. And perhaps you've turned to some illegitimate resources such as pornography, such as anger, such as alcohol, such as a quick fix, maybe a smoke of weed or something. You know, you've turned to something in your life because you're so frustrated and you want something outside of God's initial purpose and plan for your life to bring you peace. None of that, by the way, these drugs, pornography, whatever it is, anger, all of that is worthless anyway. It's sinking sand. And it can ruin your life. So what we see is this, that Jonah, the Bible says in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 5, it'll be on your screen. Jonah, he goes out of the city, he sits on the east side of the city, he makes him a booth, he sits under it, and it provides him a shadow just to see what's going to happen to the city. Lord God prepares a gourd makes it come over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. Now we see a turn of in his emotions. He's angry. He's ready to die. He's ready to give up. And now God prepares for him a gourd. All of a sudden, he's getting a little, his tune changes, right? He already has a shadow, but God prepares Jonah a special shadow. I want to talk to you today about this special shadow. The shadow is coming. God prepared Jonah a gourd. Some researchers believe that this gourd was a castor oil kiki plant, that it came from Egypt. Others believe that it was an Arabian pumpkin. It was that type of plant. It was found on the banks of the Tigris River. Whatever the case is, we see that God had a specific reason for it. And that's a lesson to be learned. We may not be able to identify the things that God is putting in our lives, but we need to identify the purpose behind it. We might not understand what God is creating and what He's doing. He's an innovator. He's amazing. And He's doing some crazy, awesome things, awe-inspiring things in our life. And we're like, wow, it's amazing. But we're so thundershook because of what God does. But we're not thinking about, well, why did He do it? What is the purpose behind this gourd? Why was a specific shadow for it? And it was to do this one thing. It was to bring comfort for Jonah's head. Some of you need comfort in your mind. Some of you need comfort in your thinking. Some of you need peace in your mind. The shadow is coming. And I'm going to show you four truths about Jonah's gourd, and we're going to close. And I know I'm late, but this is okay. This is great teaching. Number one, all our comforts, small and great, come from God. Number two, as with our comforts, so also do our trials come from God. God doesn't allow anything to happen in your life. He has it for a purpose. And if you're going through a trial, God allows it. He gives it permission. Number three, every gourd, every comfort has the potential for a worm. I want you to see this. What does that mean? What does the potential for a worm mean? It means that the vanity of all earthly delights, and that they all carry a worm of instability in their root, which is short time, will turn upside down all the expectations which men have from them. That means the manna had to cease in the children of Israel's life. There had to come a day when the manna, when God says, all right, I've given you what you need. Now it's time for you to rise up and begin to take what I have prepared for you. You start working it. And so many times we sit behind and we sit in a seat and we let the pastor do all the preaching, but we've never opened our Bible throughout the week and do any real study for our own life. Number four, and this is the deal. Our expectations are not in the creation. If you're putting your expectations in the creation, if it's in money, if it's in materialism, if it's even in a relationship, our expectations first must be in God, the Creator, not just the creation. Amen. And number four, this is where we're headed. There is a plant greater than any gourd. Under the shadow, we may live in peace and die in hope. That plant is Jesus. Jesus. It's like a specific wood that was used for the cross of Calvary. That tree set aside for scores of years perhaps, just to be used for the cross to die on, that Jesus died on. God prepared it. I believe that God is preparing a shadow for us. Everything you want and everything that you do not have is outside your comfort zone. How many could say this morning, I believe God is calling me outside my comfort zone? I believe that God is beginning. And listen, if you're just comfortable, right, the heat's going to turn up. God will send the heat. God will do whatever He needs. I mean, you can't outrun God. If there's specific things He's called you and He's outlining your life, you have to say, okay, Lord, I want to be compliant and I'll be willing. Because he that is willing, he that is obedient and willing, will eat of the good of the land. He that is willing and obedient, again, I believe that's Isaiah 1 and 9. He that is obedient and willing and obedient shall eat of the good of the land. I was talking about reading this book. It's a book called Radical. It's by David Platt. Some of you perhaps maybe have heard of him. This is the third time that I've read this book, Radical. It's basically taking back your faith from the American dream. It's really stirred my heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to me the other about 2 months ago and said, I want you to read this book again. It's the third time I've read this book. But one of the stories in this book is about a man by the name of Raiden. Raiden, I'd like to meet Raiden. While David Platt was an Indonesian, by the way, Indonesia is the most populated culture, I guess, place on the face of the earth when it comes to the Muslim population. So here is David Platt. He's in Indonesia. He's taking the gospel there. He says he met a new convert, and the man's named Raiden. Before Raiden became a born-again believer, Raiden was a fighter. Can anybody identify with that? He was fluent in jiu-jitsu, and Raiden practiced a number of martial arts skills. And so Raiden is sharing this with David Platt, and Raiden says one day he was sharing the gospel in this unreached village in Indonesia, and where the people had never heard of Jesus. They had never heard of Jesus, and he's sharing Jesus. And he says while he was in one house with a family sharing Christ, the local witch doctor paid Raiden a visit. He said, the witch doctor called me outside. He wanted me to fight him. That's kind of how the devil wants to do you. He wants you to go back to your former life and act out your former life when you are in a confrontation or a struggle in your life. And so this is what this witch doctor wanted to do. He wanted to fight Raiden. And Raiden confessed that his first thought was to go outside and take the witch doctor down, right? Use that jiu-jitsu on this witch doctor. But he said that as he was going outside, he said the voice of God said, Raiden, you no longer need to do the fighting. The shadow is coming. You no longer need to do the fighting. He says, God tells Raiden, he says, I will fight for you. So Raiden walked outside. He pulled up a chair. He sat down right in front of the witch doctor. And Raiden said these words with the witch doctor. He said, I don't do the fighting. My God does the fighting for me. Immediately as the witch doctor began to speak, he began to gasp for air. He was choking and couldn't breathe. People in the village came running to see what was wrong, and within a few minutes, the witch doctor had fallen over dead. Raiden said at that moment he didn't know what to do. So he thought, I guess this is a good time to preach the gospel. He preached, and many in that village got saved. Let me tell you today, everything you want and everything you do not have is outside your comfort zone. Let's talk about the things that we want. We want our children to be saved. We want them to get off drugs. We want them to do what's right and live right and carry out their call and purpose. Things that we want. We want financial stability. We want to have a savings account for a change, not live from week to week. We want our health to be better. We want to have more friends. We want our marriage to be productive and to be romantic and have real, true love. There's a lot of things we want. But you realize those things that you want is outside your comfort zone. You want to have a better financial stability? Quit going out and eat every day. Quit renting these movies all the time. Quit doing these things. You know, going. Stay home. Learn how to budget. It's outside your comfort zone. You want to be healthy. Start eating better. Get more sleep. You see what I'm saying? It's outside your comfort zone. Right? You want your family to live for God. So bring them to church. Tell them how important it is to be in the house of God. And if they're not listening, pray for them. Encourage them. Talk to them about God. Sit down with them and eye to eye and just say, hey, I just want to talk to you about your relationship with God. You see, it's outside of your comfort zone. Now let's talk about everything. We talked about everything you want. Let's talk about everything you do not have. Everything we do not have. Maybe there's some things in our life that we don't have right now that God is saying, I want you to have. I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy. I want you to have hope. I want you to have the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. I want you to be full of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues to edify the body. And then when God calls you to speak in tongues for the congregation, to obey Him and give a word. Things that maybe you don't have, an understanding of God, a passion to witness. See, you see how it is? All of these things are outside our comfort zone. It's going to cost us. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to do things that you've not normally have done. Maybe God is calling you to stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. But it's outside of your comfort zone. I'll do you like I used to do me when I was a child. I knew God called me. You know what I would do? I would go out and sing and preach to Lucinda. Lucinda in Minco, Oklahoma. We had a little red heifer. It wasn't all red, but it was a little cow. And I would sit on the fence and I would preach and sing to Lucinda. She has a place outside of your comfort zone. Maybe God is calling you to the mission field. Boy, if He's calling you, you better be ready to go outside of comfort zone. There's a lot of things we could talk about, but you know what? You may never, ever confront a witch doctor. But I believe God has appointments scheduled for you to share the gospel. I believe God has appointed you and He's called you to share specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message, we want the shadow to come. We got to step outside our comfort zone. It was uncomfortable for me that day to tell the pastors. I didn't want them to feel bad. I didn't want them to, but for me to just stay home and just say, I just feel like I need to pray. Because I love going out to eat with them. But it was outside my comfort zone. Let's stand in this room. The shadow is coming in your life. And I really believe that God wants to do great and mighty things for you. I truly believe that. I want you to bow your heads and your hearts with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, You're calling us, this church. The difference between extraordinary and ordinary is the extra. Extraordinary church. Gospel Lighthouse Church, an extraordinary church. Calling us outside our comfort zones. Not just going around the block and praying, but outside our comfort zone. To win the lost. To not settle for the mediocrity. But to go outside. And so, Father, do this in their lives. Do this at Gospel Lighthouse Church. Do this for everyone in this room. Stretch us. The days are short. Time is short. Stretch us, God. Stretch us. I want your head bowed and your eyes closed. I feel the Lord saying, somebody is wounded. Somebody's wounded. And God wants to bring you healing. And one of the barriers for you to really move is because of this wound. It's a barrier. And it's holding you back. And God wants to bring you victory today in your life. Not only does He want to heal your wound, God wants to restore your wound outside of your comfort zone. Outside of your comfort zone. Outside of your comfort zone. Listen, I've learned the past couple of weeks, there's ghosts in the room. There's ghosts in the room. You know what that means? the ghost in a room. That means there's a past that you have. There's nothing you can do about this past. It's happened. There's a ghost in this room. You got a ghost. You bring it with you. God wants you to understand that God wants to bring you freedom from that past. Don't bring the only ghost that you need to bring with you in a room is a Holy Ghost. Outside your comfort zone. Outside your comfort zone. The shadow is coming. The shadow is coming. The shadow is coming in your life. Pastor Crystal, I hear the Lord say, a shaking is coming to this world. You've witnessed a shaking in the ring of fire, but a greater shaking is coming to this world. And God is saying, I believe the Lord is saying, build your house on the rock of Jesus. Build your life right now on the rock of Jesus. The shaking is going to be so severe. The shaking is going to be so traumatic that people who thought they've prepared will not even be prepared. It's not only a financial shaking, but it's a shaking in men's lives. It's a shaking in men's lives, in relationships. God is doing this. And I believe that God is saying, let's prepare. But to do this, we got to say, the shadow's coming, but we got to get outside our comfort zone. We can't run like Jonah. Maybe you're here today and you're running. You're running, you're running, you're running. And God is saying, stop your running. Stop your running. God is saying to stand, stop, and run to Him. Run to Christ. Run to God. Listen, no matter how hard you try, you'll never be able to outrun God. Am I right, Pastor Carl? You can't outrun God. You've got to let go and let God. You've got to say, okay, I'm not going to be like that. I want to be obedient to Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. So, Lord, do this work at Gospel Lighthouse Church. Do a real, genuine work.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.